Blog Talk Radio.
Is up and it is good. Welcome to the Extra Points Radio Show. I'm your host, the coach, Keith Howard, and man, did time flies when you're having fun. You realize that 3 weeks went by just like that. Three quick weeks. I mean, the last time I was on these airwaves, the Skins were playing the Cowboys, Michigan was playing Michigan State. I mean, the last time I was on here, I picked Tennessee over Alabama. Go figure that one. So it is good to be back. You know what? Sometimes life gets in the way. I tell you that all the time. Sometimes you got to work. Sometimes you got to go have fun. Sometimes you just, the show can't go on. But we are back, and we are glad to be back. It feels like the last time I did the show was like 80 degrees. It's 30 degrees now, and I just don't get it. I don't understand. But, hey, we are here, and we've got a good show for you today. Of course, we have our pay attention topics, and I think I got a pretty good one that we got cooked up. But I first got to tell you what a great night I had last night. Last night I was back out in gorgeous Prince George's County, Maryland. Now it took me it was a journey to get there, but once I finally got there, you know, it was good to be there, and was out there for a good cause. Got to speak and introduce a great friend who won an award, and we'll talk about that award later on in the show. So it was good to be out. So we've got some new listeners because I promoted the show last night. So hello to all the new listeners who I met last night. Welcome to the Extra Points Radio Show. And what we do at the beginning of the show is we always have our pay attention topic. So our pay attention topic are just kind of those things that we try and predict, we try and talk about it when maybe others aren't, that kind of thing. It's just kind of off the beaten trail. So let's just get right into it. And another thing that happened last night, up in Essex, Maryland, Crossland High School. That's right. That's where I went to school. That's where I returned to the school as the head coach. Well, guess what? They made it to the football playoffs, the 2A Maryland State playoffs, for the first time in 23 years. Now, that's an accomplishment. But the reason why it ties to me is because this is also the first time that they've won more than five games, i.e. had a winning record, since I left to go coach college football back in 2007. So it's been 11 years. 11. Think about that for a minute. 11 years since they've won five football games. So they won seven games. They went up last night to play Eastern Tech. They lost the game. You know, they lost the game 35-22. My sources tell me that the referees totally hosed them at the end of the game. But it was quintessential Crossland football. It was the band playing. The principal was out there. They had the cheerleaders. And, yes, they've got one guy that's a pom-pom. So they have a pom-pom team, which is made of one person. But it's all good. But, yeah, I mean, it was just really cool to hear about it and see some of the alum. Last week was homecoming. So to have some of the alum come back and get engaged with the school, pretty good deal. So I like that. So kudos to them on a great season. Next topic, my college, the University of Pittsburgh. Now, I said to you all in August on this very show that the University of Pittsburgh has the toughest schedule in college football. And quite frankly, I predicted them to be terrible, make a coaching change. While I think they're recruiting very nicely, they're not there yet. And there were times during the season where things looked rocky, and maybe there would be a coaching change. But, man, Narduzzi, Coach Narduzzi, has really, really done a good job. I kudos to this team. This team is 4-1 in the ACC. They're 5-4 overall. They win one more game, they're bowl eligible. Can you believe it? This team with the toughest schedule in college football, who really has no stars on it per se, could be going bowling. They got to win tonight. They got to win tonight. They play Virginia Tech tonight. It's going to be a tough battle. That is in Pittsburgh. So we will see what happens there. But I got to tell you, I'm really proud of my school. And now this 4-1 record in the Coastal Division of the Atlantic Coast Conference is a big deal, and let me tell you why. So they got Virginia Tech tonight. So Pitt's 4-1 in the ACC. Virginia Tech's 3-2. So if Pitt wins this, they kind of lock it up. They kind of lock up the Coastal Division because they're at Wake Forest, who got a big win last week over North Carolina State. So they'll be down this week, and they have a losing record. And then they're at Miami. Now, Pittsburgh went to Miami 2 years ago, and Miami was really rolling, and Pitt beat them. So there's going to be plenty of get back. But this Miami team's not very good. They have a losing record in the ACC. So if Pittsburgh can win this game against Virginia Tech and do what they're supposed to do on the road against Wake and Miami, I think they'll be in good shape. I think they win this. So, you know, let's see what happens. At the end of the day, if they win the Coastal, then they have to Clemson in the ACC championship game. Now, you beat Clemson again, because remember, Pitt beat Clemson last year, and then Clemson, of course, or 2 years ago, and then Clemson, of course, went on to win the national championship. But if you beat Clemson this year in the ACC title, Pitt automatically gets a big deal bowl game. So that's pretty cool. So good stuff. Kudos to my high school and my college. Next pay attention topic. The Central Intercollegiate Athletic Association Championship. People don't hear about it. Why don't you hear about it? Because it's historically black colleges. So Bowie State University, Bowie, Maryland, you know, just, gosh, a stone's throw from me. They're in the championship game. They play Fayetteville State today in Salem, Virginia. If they win, they get an automatic berth in the NCAA Division II playoffs. So, you know, why is that a big deal? Well, I'll tell you, being out in the county last night, being out in Prince George's County last night, seeing some of my old friends, some of my old peers, colleagues, I noticed, I went to the roster for Bowie State. Do you realize that this roster is 85% homegrown? And when I say homegrown, I mean the kids either come from D.C. or from Prince George's County. 85% of the team. That's pretty good. And it's funny, they get no press. They're 8-2. They lost to Wagner of New York, 40-23, which that game, by the way, was on the road. And they lost to Chauwin of North Carolina, 42-23. That game was on the road. They're 3-0 at home. They don't lose at home. And so they're 8-2 overall, 5-1 in the CIAA. They've won four straight. How come they aren't on the news? How come no one's talking about them? Maybe if they win the CIAA, maybe they get a highlight on the news. Maybe if they win the Division II championship, maybe then they will get some shine. But, hey, they get shine here, and a historically black college will get shine here all day long. So congratulations already on a good season by Bowie State University. The Bulldogs, Coach Frazier, is doing an outstanding job over there. So I look forward to a big win today over Fayetteville State. Way to go, Bowie State Bulldogs. So it's time now for our real pay attention topic. I think it's a good one if you fear the turtle. Our pay attention topic. Now, while we were away, the University of Maryland football program decided to part ways with then head coach DJ Durkin after bringing him back, which I thought was a little odd. So they bring him back, and then they let him go. So now, of course, everyone's scrambling and trying to find out who is his replacement. Now, I can tell you, there are many short lists out there. I kind of condensed them down, so I'm going to give you a couple names. At the top of the list, Keith Howard. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Could I do that job? In a heartbeat, I could do that job. Will I get that job? That's a negative. But I just got to put my name on the list just because. But here are a couple names. So Matt Canada is already there. I'm all right with Coach Canada. He did a nice job at Pitt for one season. But he strikes me as an offensive coordinator. Now, he's shown some leadership ability over the last, I don't know, couple weeks when he's been the interim head coach at Maryland. So he's already there, right? So he's kind of got that interim label, but he's getting the job done. So you got to look at him. I think he's held the ship together. We already know he's a good offensive coordinator, but he's never been a college head coach. And his offensive coordinating only lasted a year at LSU. So while he did it for a year at Pitt, and that got him elevated down to an SEC school in LSU, it didn't quite get him all the way over. So Matt Canada's out there, good person to think about. Ken N. Now, I don't say his name because I can't pronounce it, but Navy's head coach, Ken Namatamalu, or whatever his name is. I just call him Ken N. Now, here's the thing. Usually service academy guys run the triple option. That's not going to work at Maryland. That's not going to work in the ACC, although Georgia Tech runs it. So now he would have to go out and get kids on purpose, recruit kids who play that brand of football. And so that may be tough. And so I don't see that fitting. He already makes a good chunk of change at Navy. He's made a life at Navy. I don't see that one happening. Let me move to the next name, which is Lance Leopold. Lance is at Buffalo. Anytime someone can get Buffalo to 7-1, the University of Buffalo to 7-1, you got to look at him. I don't know much about the guy, but to get Buffalo to 7-1, that's all I need to know. So you got to check out Lance Leopold. Another name, Mike Norvell, Memphis head football coach. Hey, this is kind of a gimmick pick. I think Norvell's offense is wide open, five receivers, throw the ball every down. It probably gets some people coming to the games because their games would be more exciting. I don't know if it would lead to wins, and I don't know if they have that kind of player there right now. So I'm not high on that one. Next name, John Harbaugh. That's right, the Ravens head coach. So I already have John is gone, by the way. So, which is unfortunate. He's a friend, and John, I'm pulling for you in the worst way. But Flacco's got a hip injury now. You know, you kind of strapped your saddle to Joe Flacco, and it just hasn't panned out. So I think you and Joe Flacco go down in a heap. So, but John Harbaugh would be ideal. First of all, does he have college experience? Oh yeah. You know who he worked with? Me at the University of Pittsburgh. So I'm telling you right now, I think John could get this thing done. He can go into households. He can recruit. But does he want to recruit? Right? Does he want to do this? Or does he want to just kind of, you know, go to another NFL team? Which, oh, by the way, other NFL teams will be calling him the day after he gets fired. So I think John Harbaugh is a good pick. I like it a lot. Let's see what happens with that one. Next name, Mike Locksley. This is probably my favorite name, and here's why. He's a brother. He's a brother's brother. He does have head coaching experience, New Mexico State, where it didn't work out. It did not work out, and he got fired. But that's also traditionally one of the worst programs in college football. But he's a great recruiter, arguably top five recruiter. He has been at Alabama for the last 2 years. He's calling plays for Alabama right now. Mike Locksley's a friend. I hope in the worst way. He's a Prince George's guy. He'd be coming back home. He would build Maryland up, and he would build Maryland up fast. I'm talking about put him on the map. This, to me, is the best pick Maryland could do would be Mike Locksley. That's who I'm going for, but we'll see what happens. Let me give you another one. Dino Babers, he's the head coach at Syracuse. I know Dino when he was at Pittsburgh for a year. Great guy, high energy guy, but I don't think he's leaving Syracuse for Maryland. A couple other guys, Charlie Strong, he's at South Florida. Maybe this gets him back into a Power 5 conference. I think Charlie Strong is just a Florida guy. I don't see him in the ACC. He did well at Louisville. He did horrible at Texas. I don't see it. Now, I'm going to give you a sleeper name, Neil Brown. Neil Brown's from Troy University, the men of Troy. He beat LSU last year. He beat Nebraska this year. He can recruit the Deep South. It's not a really attractive pick. No one really knows who he is. I think that guy could – I think he could win in the ACC, so Neil Brown's a name. So that is our pay attention topic for this week. So think about all those things I said, and watch this Maryland search closely. It will be very interesting. When we get back, we are going to talk some Wizards hoops, as the Wizards are terrible. They are absolutely terrible. And I want to talk about that. So we'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show. Chuck, we need money. We need that Powerball to go way, way up, or that Mega Million to go way, way up. That's what we need. We also need, and we're going to get to the Wizards in a second, but it is mid-season. And when we're mid-season, we got to give out mid-season grades for these Washington Redskins. And so, you know, in order to do that, we got to go right through the positions here. And let's start with the offensive line. First of all, right now, it is shredded. Two starters, two healthy starters. Actually, no, one healthy starter, and that's Chase Ruye, the center. Everyone else is either out or gimpy. So on the left side, Trent Williams out, sprained thumb, had surgery. So he's out. Oh, whoa, wait a minute. Before I get into this Redskin conversation, let me table that for a second, because I did mention last night that I had a great night out in gorgeous Prince George's County. And, you know, it was a night of service. And I couldn't think of a better guy not only to be awarded, honored for the service that he does in the community, but I also couldn't think of a better guy to talk Wizards basketball with. And it was funny last night at the event, we were talking about this person who I just described last night as super. But I said, if you want to hear Super Ref, you have to listen to the show this morning. So there's only one way to bring him in. And for those of you who are new to the show, Super Referee Craig Muckle, last night, a wonderful honor, Walk of Fame out at Beltway Plaza. A great night by all. Him and his wife, Yolanda, and all the kids. And it was just a really, really good night. But I'm going to have to bring him back down to earth, and there's only one way to do it. And I could do it in two words for him.
Yeah.
we go. Absolutely. We know him. We love him. We can't live without him. You suck. Super referee Craig Muckle back on the scene after a lengthy absence. It must be basketball season or bowling season or award season. So I got to lead off with that, man. What a wonderful accomplishment and a great night last night. Thanks for allowing me to be a part of it. Tell our listening audience, you got a pretty neat little thing going on last night.
Yes, I did. And good morning, Keith. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you bringing it up, and thanks for being there. So my wife and I were honored to be recognized by Beltway Plaza in Greenbelt, Maryland. They have a wall of fame. And as a couple, made it for our collective service to the community. And again, you know, as we said yesterday, it's not really the fact that we got recognition. It's the fact that we work both in our family as a team, but also in the community as a team. And, you know, we're part of many people here that, you know, try to help our Prince George's County, gorgeous Prince George's, a better place to live. So we're certainly appreciative of the honor by Beltway Plaza and our friend Cap Capiston and his team with the Beltway Plaza and the Quantum Corporations. But, you know, we're back at it, trying to do what we do to them here, coaching kids bowling, and then I'll be back on the court this afternoon to officiate some basketball.
Well, it's funny you mention that because, shout out to Cap. He did a great job last night. We got to do a show just on bowling because, I could see it's infectious. You know, your wife's into it. I know you're going to get the kids into it. I mean, it's pretty neat stuff. For the record, do not bowl because of an episode of the Flintstones where Fred's finger got stuck in the ball. And that scared me, and I'd stay away from the sport. But if you want to talk about needing some help. And we're going to do a show later on, maybe next week, week after, with an overview. We'll do local basketball. We'll do an sure. NBA. But the 2-9 Washington Wizards, what in the heck is going on? I mean, they are awful. So I got to come right out and ask you them. Right now they're 2-9. Only the Cleveland Cavaliers are worse, and they're already 3.5 games out, a seed in the Eastern Conference already. Please, Super Referee Chris, what is wrong with the Wizards?
Well, you know, it's not a good look. And, I haven't seen a lot of their games. I saw a portion of the game against Oklahoma City. And, you know, it was a home game. Obviously, Russell Westbrook is who he is. But I have to say, it appeared to me they really just gave up early in the game. And, you know, Russell Westbrook was blowing by John Wall and others as if they were standing still. And I was like, are they actually trying? And look, I mean, anyone can have a bad game, but clearly 11 games in, that's close to a 12th of the season already, or an 8th of the season, excuse me. And they're really putting themselves in a pretty deep hole and don't know. There's going to be a point where they're going to hit the point of no return. And, you know, maybe no return doesn't mean they won't make the playoffs, but no return may mean that they're not going to be in a position they want to be in. But I just
Let me ask you this, because I always get into a back and forth with people about Scott Brooks and, you know, pro coaches. They're not real motivators. They're not really paid to do that. They're paid to strategize. And, you know, college guys, high school guys are more of that. But is this a Scott Brooks issue? I don't think it is yet. But he signed for a lot of money, so he's not going to be fired.
Yeah.
But is that a problem? Is this a Coach Brooks problem?
You know, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. You're right. I mean, they paid him a lot of money. I don't think they're going to fire him yet. But we talked about this a year ago. I still don't think the Wizards have the team that they, I guess, need or the best team to make them competitive as they could be. I mean, look, John Wall and Bradley Beal, they're fine there in theory. And I like Otto Porter as a player. But if that's the core of your team, if you look at other teams in the conference and other teams around the league, is that a core three that's going to put you consistently in the upper tier of the playoffs? I say no.
It's easy to say they're not three all-stars, you know, I want you to touch on specifically, one of them, and you're going to know who I'm talking about. Now, I know that sometimes when people are going through things, they pick up a pound or two, or their hair gets a little wild, or whatever. But John Wall, it looks like something's going on there. I don't know what it is. I wish I could sit down and have dinner with him. But it looks like there's something eating at him. And I'm not sure what, I don't know. I haven't heard any rumor or, you know, with Gilbert Arenas, you knew something was going on that head, wacko. But I'm saying, do you think that John Wall is just simply not in shape? Do you think he's just already petered out? I mean, what is he, 25? But he came out, he was 18. Like, is he done?
Yeah.
Is he like a running back where you just kind of wash him up so soon? Like, what's going on with him specific? Do you see anything?
Well, you know, at this point I don't. But let me say this. And we'll go back to the Scott Brooks issue. And I don't know whether he's punched out on the coach in terms of, you know, he's just not listening or what. But, you know, clearly I think he's not all, you know, he's somehow distracted. And
sure,
that's a problem because, I mean, ultimately for the Wizards to compete, they need John Wall to be there every game. I mean, you know, and that's not to diminish Bradley Beal, because I think, you know, Bradley Beal could be a leader on any team. I would say I think most people might agree that John Wall still should be the elite player on the Wizards. And he's just not performing consistently at that level. And it should be. And again, look, at any time Bradley Beal can give you 30 points, 10 rebounds, whatever the case may be. I don't know if he can do that every night. But John Wall is the kind of player who can do that every night. Okay? So, the Wizards need full contribution from Beal, full contribution from Wall, and a full contribution from Porter to be in the mix. And they're certainly not getting it there. But again, I think that, aside from the fact that I don't think their core group is the best, you know, comparatively speaking, I just don't think they have enough other complementary pieces on the starting unit and certainly on the second unit to make a difference. Because really, you've got to have four that you can count on the second unit when Beal, Wall, and or Porter are off the floor at any time individually or collectively. And I don't know where the Wizards are getting their scoring from. I just don't. And defensively, they're not there either. I mean, again, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma City with Russell Westbrook, it's like a whirling dervish. So it may not be, you know, maybe that's skewing my perspective on it. But the bottom line is the Wizards don't appear to be a really good defensive team either. And that's what you get when you're 2-9. I mean, everything's a problem. And, you know,
well,
in the
well,
East, this year, with, I was just going to say, with the East being without LeBron now, I mean, this is an opportunity for a lot of teams to step up. I mean, look at Indiana. I mean, and Victor Oladipo has basically been the man. He's played really well.
Local kid, right?
Have you
repped his game?
Yeah.
Have you repped his game? That's good. That's good.
I just wanted to go back to last night for a second.
Because there's a rumor that you had some great speak come out. I mean, some of them, I mean, looked like they were paid, right? I mean, you had some great speakers. but there was one thing that I think was left out last night. I wanted to share with our listening audience. And I shared it with a couple of the people after when you were taking pictures and everything. I mean, really, you were getting rock star status. And I thought, well deserved. But I had a captive audience off to the side, and we were talking about a game you had done, Bowie Crossman. Everybody knows you love Bowie and Bowie Town Center and Bowie State and the Bowie Bay Sox. And so I was telling this captive audience that, you know, I'm at the game. I'm sitting right on the front bleacher. And you're standing right in front of me. You're 10 feet tall. I can't see. But I could see the Bowie kid slap at the ball. And, you know, it's like 5 seconds left in the game. Crossman's getting ready to shoot to win. The Bowie kid slaps at the ball, and I'm jumping up and down. I'm like, Craig, it's our ball, our ball. And I'm pointing the way to Crossman. And you turned around and winked at me and said, no, it's our ball, and pointed the other way. Now, I don't know how true that story is. But a lot of people left last night thinking that. So I just wanted to clear the record. That is not a true story. So for those of you listening, I made
absolutely
that all up.
Absolutely not a true
Craig,
story.
Craig
yeah.
is a wonderful referee. And the only thing he can't do is call a charge. That's the only thing. But I will say this. It was great to see your folks out there. And I just wanted to give you a minute or so to just kind of, you know, once again, if there's any thank yous or reflections, from last night as a wonderful achievement that you want to give to our listening audience.
Yeah.
You feel free to do that.
Sure. No, I appreciate that. And, you know, thank you among, you know, others, Dwight Rochester, Willie Jolly, as I mentioned, Cap Capiston, Jan Evans, who brought my wife up to the stage, Senator Doug Peters, and Councilmember Todd Turner, along with Delegate Marvin Holmes, who is not there, but he information. Everyone helped make that, you know, night. And Dwight Rochester, I can't forget him, my officiating colleague, one of many, for just helping make the night what it was. Because again, you know, Yolanda and I, we do what we do like many others do, not necessarily for recognition, but because it's the right thing to do. We want to be a contributor, and every community has its you know, challenges, and you know, we want to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. And so, look, when you have people like Kim Rim, who's with the Training Source and who's done great work in training people to be well-rounded employees at wherever they're working in Prince George's County and frankly beyond, you know, to me, those are the people that are really doing a lot heavier lifting than Yolanda and I are doing. But, you know, As I said yesterday, a lot of what I do is around the chamber and a lot of other nonprofit groups and, you know, raising money for organizations. And a lot of that is, you know, I may be the quarterback, but at the end of the day, there's a team behind me that is doing a lot of the work as well. And, you know, there's no I in team. And the one thing I did not mention yesterday that I'll mention today is I'm a big Star Trek fan. And for those of you who are into Star Trek, you know, there's the old Vulcan proverb that says the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one. And that's really what it's all about, because, you know, it doesn't matter what I need. Let's look at what the community needs, because if the community is flourishing, we all flourish together. It's just all, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats. And I know they're trite and overused things, but it's true. And so, we appreciate the recognition. We're not certainly going to turn it away. And it's great, you know, to see people be able to see, you know, ask who these people are, maybe read something about us along with other notables. But, you know, thanks to everyone that took a moment to either come and acknowledge us through just their presence or actually had a part in the ceremony.
Well, good stuff, man, and we definitely want to have you on. We want to do a show on local basketball, college hoops. We'd love to do a show on AAU basketball. We'd love
sure.
to do a show on an overview on the NBA, just so you can get me up to speed,
yeah.
Because, you know, I don't know what's going on in the NBA. And, hey, man, yeah. I'm not a Star Trek fan, but may the Force be with you. Oh, shoot. Wait,
that's
wrong,
Star
wrong,
Wars,
wrong,
but that's
wrong,
okay.
Wrong.
That's
okay.
Okay,
well,
that's all right. No problem.
Okay. A spaceship
no
is a spaceship is a spaceship. So, hey, man, we'll see you down
yeah.
the road. Enjoy your day today. And where can we boo
appreciate
you today?
It.
Are you repping today?
I am. We up at Germantown, Maryland, at I think it's Mealsville Middle School, working the I-270 league this afternoon for a few games. So yeah, I'll be there this afternoon.
All right. Well, I'll be the guy up in the top row with a sign saying "You suck." That'll be me.
Well, and we'll look
Very
for you.
Good.
Okay,
Very
man.
Good.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Super Referee Craig Buckle. Always a pleasure to have him join the show. So now let me get into, before we get, we're going to get Fit with Joy in here in about 5 minutes. But before we do that, let me go back to this this whole Redskin thing and just kind of give a wraparound on the skin. So the offensive line is absolutely decimated. The left side is not going to play tomorrow. Chase Rouye is the only starter at center. The right side, Brandon Sheriff, done for the year. And Morgan Moses is a hangnail away from being out as well. So it's a backup offensive line. That means Adrian Peterson, now I'm going to move over to the running back, Adrian Peterson won't be able to run anymore. So don't say he's too old or he's lost a step. Or he has no blocking, zero. So when you don't have blocking, you can't run. End of story, period. Now, when you can't run, it makes it even more difficult to throw because teams know you're going to throw. Well, throwing to who? Paul Richardson is out for the year. Josh Dotson's not very good. Jameson Crowder, is he still on the team? I don't know. Okay. And then Jordan Reed, he bumped his hip last week. He had a little bump on his hip. So, you know, I mean, it's just they are awful. They are awful. And Captain Checkdown is exactly what I said he would be. He's checking it down. He doesn't turn the ball over. You're right. He doesn't. I mean, he threw a pick last week, but he doesn't turn the ball over. But he's Captain Checkdown. And so the offense, so they're not going to score any points. All right, so that's that. Now, on the defensive side, D-line's good, but I saw teams now being able to run against them a little bit. And here's why. It's because the offense isn't any good. So other teams have offenses that are good. So the defense can't hold you to 10 points, you know, 17 points a game. They just can't do it. And so there you go. So the D-line now is looking mediocre. The linebacking crew is being spread out, and they're fast. I mean, Zach Brown is fast, but sometimes he's lined up against slot receivers. Not going to win that one. Okay, and then to me, that's still the weakest link on the team. I've said it once. I've said it a million times. Other than the head coach, is the secondary. Josh Norman isn't good. I haven't heard one person say Josh Norman is good. He's not, and they don't have another corner. They don't. And then they started Clinton Aha-Dix last week. He doesn't know what he's doing. He had three practices. So they pulled him right out, and they went right back to Monte Nicholson, who, I don't think they really should have given up on Monte Nicholson. He's a second-year player. He's a seventh-round draft pick. He's a pretty decent player. I thought they should have moved Aha-Dix over to corner instead of safety. But, you know, who am I? So DJ Swearinger, is he playing at a Pro Bowl level? Yeah, he is. Will he keep it up and actually make the Pro Bowl? I don't think so. The kicking is okay. You know, Tress Wade's the most valuable player for probably the fifth year in a row. Dustin Hopkins is good. I still don't quite trust him, and I don't know why, because he usually delivers, but I just don't. And then, of course, the head coach. So I'm staying with, you know, my original plan. Gruden out, Harbaugh in. Unless, if you heard me mention in the pay attention topic, John Harbaugh takes the Maryland job. I said that in the pay attention topic. So for those of you who are late joining the show, you missed me break that little nugget right there. If that happens, I'm prophetic. Like, if that really happened, who thought about that? John Harbaugh to the University of Maryland? I don't know. So anyway, hey, so now, this show is not about politics. Like, we try not to talk about politics. But I got to tell you, there's some people winning elections who are tied to sports. And who else to find that out? Who would go, you know, above and beyond to find out which politician is actually attached to sports? Well, when I hit the button, you'll know exactly who that is. Thank you. only be one person. We love our segment. First we had Super Referee Craig Muckle, and now we have Fit with Joy. You know, there's been no two people that have been on the show more than those two rock stars. So, Fit with Joy, are you there?
Hey there, Coach. Fit with Joy here, there, and yes, I'm everywhere.
All right, very good. So now, you know, we don't like to talk politics. We don't talk about the orange face guy or any of that stuff. You've searched far and wide and found some link to politics and sports. So I'm listening.
Indeed, indeed. It's been a monumental week. And for that matter, many changes have come. We're here in the D.C. area. We can't help but not stay so buttoned up. But sometimes when we get into sports, we try to avoid all the different politics that may ensue. And there are cross-sections, and we have a president who likes to dabble in that. So we do have one, MMA fighter, former, that is Sharice David. She made history not just being an MMA fighter from before, but being the first in multiple things, openly gay Native American woman elected to the United States House of Representatives as a Democrat.
Wow.
And that adds to the hundred total of women elected to Congress in this process, an all-time high.
Wow. Wow, now that's good stuff. And now, I didn't know this about this congresswoman now, that she's a former MMA or she's...
Definitely. She's always been fighting, literally and physically. She had initially went with the MMA and tried to unionize. So her colleague, Leslie Smith, had a project called Spearhead, where they pretty much won the rights for MMA fighters, those up-and-coming ones who needed to ensure that they would have the benefits that regular workers get and not be deemed an independent contractor. So she was able to get on board and help out with that charge. And for that matter, it sected over into sports or into the actual political realm. She talks about those facets of her life and the ability to stay calm and not get upset, especially if you're getting punched multiple times. Imagine if you were to get angry, you'd be burnt out. And she, quote, says, just knowing that you do this thing on a regular basis that most people, one, never experience, and two, that you can recognize that you can disentangle your emotions from your physical state, from your ability to perform. For me, just being able to recognize that, having the mindset is really, really helpful. And I'd like to add to that, as a scholar athlete myself and one who likes to continue to stay fit and has recently taken on combat sports for that matter, being a football player underneath your tutelage and boxing beforehand and picking up that art. Now it shows in your professional life how you're able to transpose those different attributes.
Wow. Now do you know what's the name again of the congresswoman? What's her name again?
Yeah, that's right. It's Sharice Davids. Davids with the S at the end. Yes, she has those different attributes of, I believe, the scholar athlete that are reigned supreme. And it is politics in a sense where I look at that with MMA and how it transcends into other facets in politics. And particularly with the WWE, when you look at the women there, who's leading the charge? None other than our girl Ronda Rousey. Again, we see the trend and the strands from MMA and how the WWE picks who is going to be the women's wrestling champion and have the belt, and as opposed to Charlotte Flair, who's SmackDown champion. And so politics and sports, especially in D.C., we kind of see it here, but it's really starting to show more and more.
Now, it's interesting that you bring up the WWE because you want to talk about something that was very monumental. They had a pay-per-view, which they deemed Evolution, and there used to be a wrestling faction called Evolution, where it was Ric Flair, Triple H, and Randy Orton, and they were kind of saying this is the next day Batista. This was the past, present, and future. And they took that faction, they broke it up because each man went on individually, but they gave the name to the women's division and to this pay-per-view. And so I know that the pay-per-view came on a couple weeks ago. I watched it. I thought it was outstanding. 3 hours of all women There were no men on the card. How did you feel about that? I mean, this was historic. And just, you know, and was there any buzz or any feedback in the aftermath?
Oh, sure thing. Well, allow me to plug myself again with politics and being in the in crowd and having the ability to transcend different platforms in athletics. I myself had applied in the Tough Enough realm some years ago, did a video application. You can see on YouTube, titled Joy Henry Tough Enough, and just that, I believe I was far and beyond capable of charisma on camera and the athlete that they needed me to be. Believe that there's some crews or some inside have familiarity with, I should say, and I didn't get chosen for that matter. And quite frankly, neither did Sharice Davis for the actual show of The Ultimate Fighter. So we have some kind of similarity there. She was able to use that tenacity and overcome that obstacle and become the congresswoman that she is. And so maybe there's some kind of storyline they could do for me in the WWE. I'll just put that out there. Now, to answer your question, though, it was a couple of weeks.
I should have charged for that plug. My goodness. That's $300 per plug. No, go ahead. So tell me about
it. Okay, well, you'll be
evolution.
My manager.
What,
so
what
just put that. You'll be my manager.
There we go.
Put that towards your fee. There we go.
There
yes.
we go.
So the evolution did take place a couple weeks ago, October 28, 2018, to be exact. And so that was a pay-per-view, the first ever women's professional pay-per-view produced by the WWE. WWE Network event, and it entails Raw, SmackDown, and NXT brand. And that was at Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum in Unionville, New York. And so that gave them the opportunity to showcase the different championships and just the extensiveness of all the actual different championships that were defended is incredible. I mean, from going from the Fabulous Moolah and all the different stages, which I break down in my video, just one more shameless plug, you see how the evolution entails and allowing for women the opportunity to be on such a big stage and the numerous amount of different talents, the storylines, the personalities. It wasn't just one wash particular individual. They had all kinds of different women there representing who they were and what they were capable of. And as I talked about Ronda Rousey, former MMA fighter, who now resurfaced and is rebranding herself. I mean, just to think of it, leaving the MMA the way she did, being tapped out, being submitted to, it just was just incredible. She was known for that. She was known for the ability to captivate and incapacitate her fan base with her submission to her opponent. And she was just knocked out a number of times in her last two bouts. And so now she's here, and she's taken this WWE career by storm and literally taken it full throttle. So she defeated Nikki Bella's and their twin tandem.
But let me ask you a question, though. Now, I watched it, and I thought that it held my attention. You know, it got every emotion out of me that any other pay-per-view would get out of me. And so, but what's the hard facts? Like, was it successful? Are they going to be able to do this again? Did they lose money, make money? I'm just curious because when I look at, I mean, they did tables. They, you know, cracked each other over the head with chairs. I mean, they it was extreme. You know, I mean, they did everything that you would see on any other pay-per-view. But I didn't hear that, oh, we can't wait for the next one or this, that, or the other. So I'm not sure if it was successful. I know in this household, it was successful. I thought it was a great event. But, you know, nationwide, was it successful? And if it was, I got a follow-up question as it correlates to another woman's sport. So what say you? Was it successful?
Well, by numbers, standards, and we want to talk about attendance, tickets sold, the number is 10,900. It was at the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum. So not a big particular venue in standards of sports and entertainment. And that's just the way it is. You know, when you have something new, You have the ability to try to transform and get to the levels of those that have come before you. You're standing on the shoulders of giants, and you're getting the natural ball going and rolling. And so I personally liked it. I liked the different aspects that they entered in with. They had different stages of the Mae Young's Classic that allow for those that I probably, if I continue to plug myself in the Tough Enough video, should be able to say, this is how you get in. And so you have to get involved in those particular circles and then develop on the circuit and then be able to be part of the Mae Young Classic. Then you have NXT, their in-house branded training facility. And these are actual athletes. These are actor leagues. I just made that word up. It just rolled right off of my tongue because they're selling the hits, but at the same time, they might get hit. And it's just all about the part of the passion and the energy and integrity that it takes. And I think it invigorated a lot of different people. I think that it's
so
not
you,
just, oh, okay.
You answered my
Sorry.
Question, though. You answered my question, mm-hmm. which is this. You said that the attendance at the Nassau Coliseum was about 10,000. So I'm just trying to figure out when was the last time. Now I'm coming with a left jab now, so get your guards up because I'm coming. When was the last time the WNBA could say that they had 10,000 at a game?
Well, I'm going
to
slip that.
So I'm trying to figure out.
I'm going to slip that jab. I'm going to counter it, though, with not another hit, but I'm going to muff it. I'm going to put up a hand to block it. And not return that vitriol assault. And just say that it's a different kind of quote-unquote entertainment. And the women, they have had, from what I understand, in their 20-plus years of being in existence, some games where they've had the ability to shell out that amount of fan base. You got the LA Stars.
Okay, so it does.
They're in a high-powered market. They have it. They have it. And I don't want to go into, well, if we had the Lingerie Football League and then you have women's professional semi-pro out there, what the numbers are, you know, and you see where I'm going there. I'm going to stay buttoned up, and I'm not going to talk about the decorum and the actual dress that entails and the attire and what's enticing or not, what they're actually there for, because then we could flip it on the other gender and say, well, some women actually do like football. Are there other women who like the men that are in their tight pants? We can go both ways with this, but when it actually gets to the talent, the actual content and substance, this WWE pay-per-view, I believe, brought it.
Well, I tell you, after watching it for 3 straight hours, I felt the same way, that we're entertaining, and that's the name of the marquee, is sports and entertainment. So good stuff. Well, hey, that's good. That's all good information. I want to keep that dialogue going about the differences in the women's sports and, you know, the popularity. Because I'm thinking about volleyball, for example, right? There's
exactly.
Volleyball that we think of, the regular volleyball where people, you know, go in the gym and they hit the ball over the net. And then there's this two-on-two beach volleyball, mm-hmm. right, which is on the pro circuit. These people are getting paid. You know, what's going on? Like, how come – you don't get paid to play it inside in a gym, right? All that. So we could do that until heck freezes over. So we'll put a pin in that. I think we teased it enough. That's good. Let me get a
Please
quick 2 minute
do, but let me
here.
Just give a little quick tidbit out there.
Sure.
Fitness extraordinaire and myself, and I have a prodigy in the making that I have to go ahead and put some different tactics to get her to that level of Olympian, because you're talking about the beach volleyball and that's the Olympic sport that it entails. My niece, Gwyneth Hazel Pulley, I just said her entire government, and she's such a dear to me. She's going to be trying out. She's over at Holy Cross, the Academy of the Holy Cross, and she's going to be trying out for what is the varsity team. She's been on the JV, and so she's trying to take that next step. And it's really the scholar athlete, the scholar before the athlete. You have to be able to be taught and be all comes full circus. So the ability to transcend, as we talked about, to wrap it up with the MMA former fighter and Sharice Davids to becoming a congresswoman, you have to be well-rounded. And so we definitely can talk about all those different aspects.
Very good, very good. Well, we wish her luck in her endeavor on the select teams out there. There's a whole bunch of them, and once you make it to that level, you're hitting your stride. So that's good stuff. So let me do a quick 2-minute warning, and it's all about the family, and everybody's family's got stuff. I mean, everybody's got stuff. But I was in the pleasure of a family last night, the Muckles, who won an award as a team. And one of the children were there. The other two children were active in their social lives and that. But one of the things I liked when both of them accepted the award, they said their family's been through a lot and been through trials and tribulations. And I heard a great sermon. It was titled, "I Refuse to Allow Trials and Tests and Tribulations Hinder My Joy." And I think every you know, family can say that. So shout out to Pastor Craig Mathias Sr. for that. It's just all about the family at the end of the day. It really, really is. So keep yours in prayer and in mind all the time. So let's get some predictions in here. I went out on a limb and did not pick Alabama a few weeks ago, and that was just awful. So the Washington Redskins, who I think are in big, big trouble, but they got Tampa Bay. DeSean Jackson wants out of Tampa Bay. Fitzmagic, all that good stuff. I got the Bucks. What say you?
Well, I would be remiss if I didn't add a little bit to that wonderful 2-minute warning on my end and just say that to my brother who had passed away last month, you rest in peace. As you said, families are going through it, and it's a family in general all around that are struggling. In the United States, we have to come together and unify. So we'll get things rolling in the right direction. So just wanted to get that in. And so along with your prediction, I believe that will be in the future. We will come to fruition. So I'm going to go with Fitzmagic. I believe that there's magic. I believe there's faith. I believe in general that things are working for the betterment. And I'm just going to roll with that gut feeling.
So you got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? All
that
right,
is correct.
Got it.
I got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
This is an interesting game. University of Central Florida, the Knights roll in the Navy. I know Pentagon Federal Credit Union is going to be out there high and mighty this weekend. I got Navy in a big upset. That's my upset pick of the week. Navy's not a very good team this year. I think they upset UCF. What say you?
Nah, I'm going with the Knights. They're undefeated, and they're going to be undefeated for a reason.
There we go. Okay, very good. And one last one. I got to get this one out there. Alabama, number one team in the country against Mississippi State and the Rebels. There'll be cowbells going. Roll Tide. What say you?
Yeah, I've been saying rolling and ball and all this stuff all throughout this entire podcast. I'm going to stick with that. I'm getting on the ball. I'm rolling all the way down to Alabama with the Tide.
There we go. There we go. Hey, I want to thank everybody for listening. We appreciate you guys. Listen to the whole show. We come on at 10. We get off at 11. We try and stay right on those good, hard times. And hey, stay warm this weekend because it's plenty cold out there. I got to find the button here and make sure I hit it. And as always, the extra point is up.
And evolutionarily good.